Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 3, we were talking about scriptural forgiveness. Let's pick up right there today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
We do want to forgive folks, but it must be scriptural. It must be according to the Word of God. It must be when they repent. But then we must do it. Now, that happened in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you remember the story there? I mean, that is a story that was just kind of, I don't know about most people, but that's a story that should just really turn all of our stomach. I mean, it really should. Let me just share it with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication, that's sexual sin of any kind, among you. But now, notice this next phrase, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, we kind of think that was his stepmother. We don't know that for sure. The Bible doesn't tell us it is. It would not have been unusual for a first wife to die and a man take on another wife who is maybe the same age as her as his own son. But somehow or another, the son and this wife end up in fornication. Now, if it was his mother, that's even worse. If it was his real mother. And that's what makes me think, because it could have been his real mother, because that kind of fornication of a young man with his stepmother who's near the same age, that could have happened several times in that day. But your own mother? It says it's not so much as named among the Gentiles. The other would have been. So it may have been his own mother. And it says, ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed. And think about that. They're puffed up. They've not mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. And notice what he says. For I verily, as absent body, but present spirit, have judged already as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. Now, he doesn't have to think this through. Scriptural proof and scriptural evidence is scriptural truth and scriptural evidence. There are things that you do about a situation like this. You just don't try to consider all the modern psychology of the day. You do what God says. So he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since this kind of sin, you need to pray that this guy will repent and just pray for his death, because he's a saved man. So that his spirit is saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, it just doesn't make it any worse than it is now in his lost reward. He says, your glorying is not good. It's not good that you're glorying that, hey, we're so forgiving. We just got to forgive them. We forgave them, even though there's no repentance and he continues in his sin. He says, no, it's not good. If it's not good, that's sin, you see. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He says, look, you're his local church. You're not to have the leaven, the sin, the toleration of sin in your midst. Someone was talking to me very recently about music and said, well, sometimes I will hear on your radio station some Christian music that has a little bit of a tinge of bluegrass. So how's that any different than contemporary music? Well, my friend, first of all, if you don't know the difference between bluegrass and contemporary, something is wrong with your ears and your thinking. Now, just the music. I'm not talking about the words, just the music itself. The music of bluegrass, I don't prefer bluegrass, so if you're thinking I'm defending bluegrass, I am not. That's not my preference. I like old Christian hymn music, and really, that's me. But the music of rock and roll is associated with drugs, with sex, with Satan worship, and so much more. Bluegrass has been associated with mom, apple pie, and just old sentimentality of the old country life. Now, as I say, the words are the most important in a song. But there should be nothing in the music that goes to our flesh and makes our flesh compete against the spirit to receive the words of the song. So again, get the leaven out. And so that's what he tells them. And he tells them to separate. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. Yeah, you're going to have people that you rub elbows with every day. You work with them, you go to store there, you go to different places, they're there. But when somebody's called a brother, and they're within the local church, in fellowship of the local church, a partnership, if they're into those things, then you have nothing to do with it. He says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. Well, they actually responded to this and did exactly what they were told to do. And the great thing about that is that that man did repent. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, look, restore the guy. He's repented. You're going to give him over much sorrow. You know, when he turned from his sin, he admitted his sin and turned from it, then you forgive him. I've had people now in ministry in three different churches. So I've seen this besides growing up in church because my dad was a pastor. But I've seen people that when someone repents and turns from their sin, that's not good enough. And they want them to be super spiritual. I don't see them out soul winning. And usually a person saying that's not out soul winning themselves. And they need to do this. They need to do that. No. What they need to do was turn from their sin, make things right with the people from whom they sinned against, as well as with God, and especially with God, for all sin is against him, and then do right. But if you expect them to be the Apostle Paul, that probably isn't going to happen. So again, don't set a higher standard for somebody that's repenting of their sin than you have for your own self. Sin must be forgiven, but only when we confess, repent, and do what's right according to God's word, according to God's way, according to God's will. We do it that way. And so 1 Corinthians 5, that person's not restored until he repented. So again, that's what I say. If they ask forgiveness, I'd be happy to restore them. Now, there are things that are hard to be understood. Sometimes you can forgive, but not remove the consequences. But you do what you can within the realms of scriptural truth and love. Now, let me give you an example. If I were to leave my wife for another woman, I could be forgiven by the church, but I left her and married another woman, divorced her and married another woman. I could not have the position of pastor again. That's a consequence of my sin, but yet I'd be forgiven, and I could still be a witness. I could still do things for the Lord, but the thing I could not do is be a pastor or a deacon. Now, that hasn't happened. I've been married for 48 years, and I wouldn't do that because she would kill me. All right? So we don't want to go that direction either. But imagine this. A spouse cheats on her spouse. Let's put it on a woman's foot. We've had on a man's foot all along here. Let's put it on a woman's foot. A spouse cheats on her spouse on several occasions, but she repents. And she truly repents. She's sorry. She breaks off the relationship. And the only thing she wants is for that husband to go with her, that she might let the person know she is sorry for the sin with him. She regrets it, finds it repulsive that they did what they did. And she never wants a relationship with him like that ever again. And that she loves her husband, but she is more interested in knowing whether or not he's saved and let him know the forgiveness she got and find out if that person is truly saved and share the gospel with them. Now, that's the way it ought to go. Now, I've shared that with people before and they think, well, you're crazy. Well, no, we're soul conscious. If it was your child that was in that situation, wouldn't you want them to be the one that witnesses and brings that soul back to the Savior? I think it'd be a good thing. In Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 5, we read this. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Now, that's why I used the illustration of a spouse cheating. They do it, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day they turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, understand, one of the things, I said there's consequences, like if I divorced my wife and married another, one of the consequences, I could not pastor anymore.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.